folks. This is Stefan White here with LRM, from LRM Online, with my co-host Kyle Malone, and this is another episode of I'd Buy That for a Dollar, the series where we go out and track down some cinematic gems that we can get for 99 cents and watch them. Hopefully they're good and worth a dollar, and we come here for you folks to let you know whether it's worth that dollar or not. All right, and today's film that we're going to be discussing is Moonwalkers. This movie is directed by Antoine Berto-Jacquou. He is actually a first-time filmmaker. This was his first film. However, he has received a lot of awards for a commercial for Honda called Cog, which features a Rube Goldberg machine. I thought it was a pretty cool commercial. Apparently,
is that the one where it's like you're like in a person's head or something like that?
No. This one here, it's like a it's like they took a car, took it completely apart, and then used bolts and whatnot to kind of engineer this whole thing. You get windshield wipers crawling across the floor and everything. It looks like there's some CGI in there for sure, because I don't think that all these parts can move like they do. Yeah. But it's definitely it's a convincing, creative commercial, and it apparently has received the most awarded commercial in all of advertising history.
Well, hey, why not? Mark Webb went from directing music videos to doing Amazing Spider-Man for Sony. So
right.
Why not let a commercial guy come in and do feature films?
Yeah. Why not? Give him a shot. And this film here is it stars Ron Weasley or Rupert Grant and Hellboy Ron Perlman.
It does indeed.
It does, yeah. And a brief synopsis of it is it takes place in 1969 London, where a CIA agent and the manager of a rock band must find a way to fake the moon landing. And the rest of it is just psychedelic antics, over-the-top violence, and a lot of nudity.
Yes. A lot of gratuitous nudity.
Yeah, so it's definitely not suitable for the kids or suitable for work, if that's how you... You know, definitely not. It's not like the Speed Racer film. You can't pop this on in front of the family.
No, this is not a waiting room movie.
No, not. Oh my God, there's so much art in this film, man. It's like, wow, there's a lot of nude art in this thing. So.
Yes, it was the '60s.
It was the '60s, man. Yeah. Psychedelic '60s over in Europe, and the intro of this film just kind of sets it up. I mean, it's all psychedelic. It's like it's like Sergeant Pepper and the Yellow Submarine, but like cranked up and even more acid or something, man.
Absolutely. It was an interesting way to start the movie, with the whole Rupert Grant's character. I'm drawing a blank on his Johnny was his name. I had to look down at my phone. Yes, I was faking the funk so I could look down at my phone and get his name.
Y'all do it.
IMDb. But he's sitting there trying to manage his band. And take that back. The opening of the movie was with Ron Perlman's character, right?
Yeah, and that was pretty... What'd you think of that opening, man?
Yeah, he's like coming back from Vietnam and he has a flashback. And it's kind of a trippy little thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's like I said, kind of sets the tone for the movie. Both Ron Perlman's character Kidman, or Agent Kidman, whatever you want to call it, and Rupert Grant's character of Johnny both have interesting introductions that really set up their characters. Kidman's this, you know, PTSD ridden military gung ho violent guy, and then Johnny is this completely neurotic, can't stay out of his own way, bumbling band manager. And they both get an introduction that kind of sets that tone. The flashbacks that go on for Kidman's character throughout the movie and some of the hallucinations he have, I give the special effects crew and guys some credit on that.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. The effects are solid.
Yeah. So solid.
Did you...
Go ahead.
Did you notice in the opening for Ron Perlman when he's in that Vietnam jungle, he's wearing his pajamas? He's in his PJs.
Yes. Yes, because he's having like that was a nightmare.
And he wakes up and it's the pillow and it's torn to pieces. Mm-hmm. He's a violent dude, man, and it's probably my favorite part of the film.
The whole movie was pretty interesting to me. Like you said, they're out there to fake the moon landing just in case. It's not like conspiracy theories where America did fake the moon landing. The government's worried that Neil Armstrong and company might not make it up to the moon safely. And so they don't want if something goes awry, they don't want the Russians to think that we didn't make it. And they don't want to make the American people think we wasted money, things like that. So they reach out for none other than Stanley Kubrick to film a fake moon landing. And I think that plays off of...
Find the real conspiracy. Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, find the real one. I think that plays off of a conspiracy theory where people really think the government used Stanley Kubrick to film the moon
landing. Oh, yeah, definitely. Did you ever did you ever see that quote from former President Bill Clinton's 2004 autobiography, My Life?
Mm-mm. No.
He says... And it probably just fuels the whole conspiracy because he says, just a month before Apollo 11, astronaut Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong had left their colleague Michael Collins aboard a spaceship Columbia and walked on the moon. He says that there was an old carpenter that he was talking to, and the carpenter asked Bill Clinton if he believed that they had really went to the moon. And Clinton said, yeah, but the carpenter disagreed and said he didn't believe it for a minute and that television fellas could make things look real that weren't. Clinton goes on to say that back then I thought he was a crazy crank, but during his 8 years in Washington, he saw some things that made him wonder if that guy wasn't just ahead of his time.
Huh.
So there's definitely a lot of stuff here. A lot of fuel on the fire of this conspiracy theory. So
I don't know.
Interesting conceit for a film.
I've seen both Mythbusters do an episode on the moon landing and Penn and Teller do an episode of their show, Penn and Teller's Bullshit, do an episode on the moon landing and whether or not it's a hoax. And I'd say Jamie, Adam, and Penn and Teller are all four very, very smart guys, and I buy into the fact that we did, in fact, land on the moon.
Sure.
What do you think?
I feel like it'd be a bit – if I don't know how you can get that many people in on a conspiracy, man. That's a lot of people, you know, just forever going on. I mean, you can't get, like, four people to keep a secret, so, you know, it seems pretty, you know – like, I don't see that happening, man.
So, what do you guys think? Do you think we landed on the moon? Let us know in the comments below, because that'll be an interesting question to see any comments on that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Did we land on the moon? Did we escape the flat Earth? Let us know what you think.
Oh, man, flat Earth.
Oh, God.
Anywho.
That's another movie. That's another film.
LRM conspiracy theory.
Yeah, man. Oh, seriously. That should be a spinoff, man. And then.
Welcome to the dark side of LRM, where we discuss your favorite conspiracy theories. Or we'll do an episode of LRM ranking the best conspiracy theory movies. Ooh, no, that's actually.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, there you go. Movies. Yeah. You got to have conspiracy in there. That at least that, make sure you get conspiracy in there with Mel Gibson. That'd be cool.
So. You know, you talk about the psychedelic aspects of this movie, and like we said, it takes place in the 1960s, real heavy. You know, the whole thing, they're going out to find Stanley Kubrick. Johnny, he has a cousin who's the actual agent for Stanley Kubrick, and Kidman comes in with a briefcase full of money, thinking he's going to speak to Kubrick's agent, and instead, the agent's left, and Johnny's there trying to, like, jimmy open his drawer to get money or something like that, because he's hard up for money. And he owes a loan shark, and he convinces Kidman that he is Kubrick's agent, sets up a meeting. He uses his flatmate to fake the meeting, dresses his flatmate up as Stanley Kubrick. They get the briefcase of money. They go to a bar. They do drugs.
Total opposite of what they planned to do.
Exactly. You know, instead of paying off the loan shark, you know.
He's like, I was going to see you in the morning. It's like,
yeah, blows it all on drugs, women, alcohol. You have this great 1960s party scene at a bar, and then he ends up escaping from the Loan Shark, or no, the Loan Sharks come the next day. They take the briefcase.
Oh, man, they find that briefcase, yep, and take they're it. Like, there's interest on that. It's like, oh, yep. God.
And then Kidman finds out that it was that they were faking. He comes, beats them up, threatens them, all that stuff. And they're like, okay, well, he has to figure out what to do. He's like, screw it. Let's go ahead and make this movie. Or Johnny tells him, no, I know somebody. We can get this movie made.
Yeah, they know a film director who made Bounce. A film director. Bounce took 3 years to make.
Bounce takes 3 years to make. And when they see what it is, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, man. It's I like it my, man that director. He's like light, dark, light again, dark again. Yep. When the guy's just bouncing, it's so odd, man.
Yeah, it's literally just a fat guy bouncing on a trampoline.
Yeah.
So they end up going and seeing this guy, and he lives in kind of like a commune. He's got this big building to himself with women and
fancy
men.
Artwork on the outside fancy of the building.
Fancy artwork
too.
And music always playing and stuff like that. And this is the guy that's going to help them fake the moon landing. And of course, there's all sorts of hijinks. I really like that episode that scene where Kidman, Perlman's character, has like a headache or something, and that lady gives him acid.
Oh, man. Yeah.
To help with his headache.
It's hilarious.
Oh, man. And he's tripping. And this is a guy that's already got, you know, hallucinations and PTSD from Vietnam. So it's not necessarily the type of person that should have acid or any type of hallucinogenic.
Not at all, man. Not at all. I found it interesting. It was funny that once he took that, the acid, and I think before that there was some weed with a little bit of opium in it.
Yeah.
He kind of got to a catharsis, and it's like he ended up switching places with Ron Weasley as far as like their drive to finish this project. You know, Ron Perlman's just laying around everywhere now.
I don't care. Yeah.
He's like, we're all gonna die, you know. oh man.
I like it when, in order to get the director to do the movie for them, of course, they got to pay him and buy her, you know, supplies and stuff. So Kidman and Johnny go to the Loan Sharks to get the money back. And this guy's building, it's like a boat. It's a model boat. I can't remember what boat it is, but it gets messed up and he's all angry. He's the like head gangster of the loan of the mob.
Yeah.
Know,
was that the guy? Was that the same guy from Game of Thrones that was in the Night's Watch? He kind of looked like him a little bit, but
I don't know.
It might have just been the mustache and the beard.
I can't remember. Was his name Dawson in the movie? I think it was Dawson.
Yeah.
Yeah. His name is James Cosmo, if it's the person that I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, Game of Thrones, Wonder Woman, Ben-Hur, Breakdown. I don't see Game of Thrones on here.
Nope.
There it is. Gior Mormont.
That's him. Yeah, Mormont. Yep. Okay.
That's him.
Awesome.
Definitely.
Cool.
12 episodes between 2011 and 2012 or 13.
Yeah, I remember that.
So they get the money away from him. They go back to the commune.
Oh, man, what about that scene, though, when they, like, just getting the money?
Oh, yeah.
And that running gag about Ron Perlman's shirt. It's like.
Oh, yeah. It's totally out of character. It's real, you know.
Hippy-dippy.
It's not the manliest shirt on earth.
Not at all, man.
So I really like that. And it's interesting how the CIA eventually tracks them down. They're like, hey, we know you messed things up and you're going to, we got to still get this done. And so there's CIA agents all over the commune. And then the, who is it? The mobsters, the gangsters, whatever you want to call them, the loan shark guys, they find out where they're at as well. So there ends up being this huge gunfight between CIA agents, Ron Perlman's character and Johnny and the bad guys, the mobsters or whatever you'll have. And so they go off and all hell breaks loose.
It does. What would you rank that gunfight? Like a 1 through 10.
Cinematic gunfight?
Yeah.
On funny and just fun in general because of some of the stuff that happens and Johnny's reaction. It's a good solid 7.
Yeah, yeah, I say
as far
so.
As actual cinematography, it's not the greatest.
It's not the greatest. It's not like Sicario or something like that. Yeah, but it's pretty funny. Like
yes.
That absolutely. Dude thinks he's winning, and the next thing you know, his head's blown off. And yes. It's like, oh, God.
Yes. I love the violence. The gore is great.
It is, man. Like, well, shoot. I think you wind it back a little bit back to when Perlman was looking for the fake Stanley Kubrick, trying to track them down after he had realized he'd been ripped off. Mm-hmm. And that scene in that bathroom at the bar. With those dudes that he runs into, they tell him to get lost, and he just basically lets loose on them, man, and ruins his suit. You know, ruins his shirt. That's where it starts. He ruins his shirt.
It's trippy. I do. The gore's great. So they eventually get away, and you get to see, like, the CIA's got monitors up. They've gotten the video. Oh, and let's not forget, rewind again a little bit.
What's that?
You actually do see them filming a moon landing, and it's Johnny and his flatmate are playing Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong, and they're bouncing around, and the director's giving directions, and they're having fun and
they
stuff
are.
Like that.
It's supposed to be a music video. It's all under the cover.
Exactly.
And there's some blue, men from the Blue Man Group.
Yes,
and,
the band that Johnny is managing, they find out.
Oh, man.
That's where the whole music video cover comes from, is they find out what's going on. And they convince them that they're going to be doing all this interesting stuff. But none of that ends up making it on the film. The CIA gets some footage.
Yep.
Johnny and Kidman escape, and they're sitting there. I think they're in a bar or something like that, and they're seeing a moon landing, and they're like, oh, well, they really made it.
Right.
Or did they?
They're not sure, right?
If it's their fake video or the real one, which was a cool way to end the movie. I like that.
Yeah.
It feeds into the whole original plot of the movie. You know, we're going to make this moon landing, this fake one, just in case we don't really make it. So I liked it.
Yeah. Definitely.
So overall, I think I would definitely, if I had to go through it all over again, I'd definitely buy this movie for $1. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I definitely buy this for $1. It had some, you know, it's not the strongest film out, but it had some moments. Like, one that stood out for me is when Liam, the fake Kubrick, turns down Ron Perlman's offer because it just didn't seem like something that Stanley Kubrick would do. And he's a method actor. Oh, my God. So there's these moments in it that if you got to really pay attention to it, you know, and then there's a few moments to come across. You know, so for that, you know, I give it $1 for sure. Definitely. I mean, it's a conspiracy theory film about the fake moon landing. You got Ron Perlman, you know, Hellboy, and we get Ron Weasley there, Rupert Grint. Go wrong for $1.
Excuse me. Which, if you ask me, Johnny is really just a grown up Ron Weasley that no longer does magic. Like,
yeah,
I don't even think he really changes too much. No, he's still neurotic, still always in his way, still making mistakes.
Yep.
And, yeah, definitely. He's a drug doing, smoking adult Ron Weasley that just kind of gave up on magic.
No more magic. That's it, man. Yeah. Just psychedelics.
So definitely,
I like that. That's a good way to describe him, man. That's the perfect way. Yeah,
it was a fun movie. I've actually recommended it to a few friends already. So
nice.
They haven't gotten back to me on whether or not they've seen it, but it's a trippy movie.
It's definitely trippy. And $4, you can't go wrong with this one, folks.
No, absolutely not.
I definitely buy it for $1. This looks like another solid episode of I Buy That for $1. How about you, Kyle?
Yeah, man, I'm good. I don't think I have anything else to say on it.
Cool.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah, yeah, definitely fun, folks. Check it out. And again, make sure you leave some comments. We can discuss whether you think we went to the moon or not, and some flat earth, and kind of help fuel the fire for this LRM conspiracy theory show.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get that off the ground.
All right, folks, this is another episode of I Buy That for $1. Make sure that you like, subscribe, and hit the bell so you can be alerted to when we drop more episodes of I Buy That for $1. Make sure you check us out on LRM Online and the LRM Online YouTube's page. Our next episode will be out on Thursday, and you can check us out every Thursday. Make sure you share this and subscribe to it. You can find me at LRM Online. Check out my writings there. Also on Twitter at StephonWhite13. And where can we find you, Kyle?
At that Kyle Malone on Twitter. And I also write The Cantina, a weekly Star Wars column, also out every Thursday. And we also got our other show, which you have assisted me on before and will in the future. LRM Ranks It.
Definitely, folks.
Comes out Tuesdays on YouTube and LRMonline.com.
Awesome. And make sure you guys check out The Cantina. This dude's a Star Wars expert.
Aw, thank you.
All right, folks. Till next time.
Have a good one.